Hello, golfers.
The golfer's here.
This is the 73rd Hole Radio Show with Sam Humphries and Taylor Williams.
I'm Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Woods.
Sam.
Sponsored by Enjoy Vision, a fresh perspective.
What is good, everybody? Welcome into the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision, Masters Sunday edition. I am joined by my co-host, two-time state champion, Taylor Williams. As always, T-Dub, happy Masters Sunday. The saddest part about the Masters is when it's over, right?
100%, yes. The Happy Gilmore 364 days till next year's Masters countdown has officially begun as soon as Scottie Scheffler tapped in that par putt on 18 to win the Masters by four shots. So the countdown is officially on, but we got a lot of golf to break down because there's a lot of events that transpired, especially on that back nine.
No doubt about it. Scottie Scheffler is your champion. We will get to that in a second, but first we have to bring in Craig Humphries, the Hump Man, live from Augusta.
The Sports Animals coverage from Augusta is presented by Johnson's of Kingfisher, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. Same name, same family since 1927, and brought to you in part by Golf USA, Oklahoma owned and operated just west of Quail Springs on North May. Named a top 100 golf fitter by Golf Digest, Ping, Callaway, and Mizuno, where custom fitting is always free. Now here's Craig Humphries live from Augusta on the Sports Animals.
And Sam, the Masters is in very good hands. Scottie Scheffler winning his second green jacket today, and he won it going away. What was once a three-way tie late in the front nine today, and I thought we were going to have a shootout and possible playoff, and then all the contenders, the guys standing between Scottie Scheffler and a second green jacket just started fading away with Morikawa with that double out of the front bunker at number nine, then another double at number 11, Oberg with the double at number 11, Max Homa with the double at number 12, and these guys handed it to Scottie Scheffler on a platter. But make no mistake about it, Scottie Scheffler went out and earned this because he had, what, the second best round of the day? His good friend Tom Kim had the round of the day with a 6-under par 66 very early in the day, but Scottie Scheffler with a 4-under 68 on a day that, and Taylor Williams, I got to say that I thought the scoring would be a lot lower today. There's not that many in the top 20 that were even under par today. Yes, the top three, Scheffler 4-under par, Oberg 3-under par, Tommy Fleetwood 3-under par today. That's three. Cam Smith shot a 1-under par. That's four. And then Zalatoris and Hatton 5 and 6. So only six guys in the top 19 shot under par. And then you get down to a tie for 20th. And our man Taylor Moore, 2-under par round today, ties for 20th in this Masters. So good for Taylor Moore.
To Huffman's point that he said earlier about it playing tough, those guys in the afternoon wave are the guys that teed off later. Their scoring average was 1.19 over par. The guys that teed off earlier in the morning, their scoring average was 0.32 under par. So almost more than a shot and a half difference that you saw depending on the earliness. So I think the conditions definitely toughened up in the afternoon. That's why you saw a lot of those leaders up there really struggle, just because the conditions seemed to toughen up a little bit.
Fellas, before we begin, I have to apologize to all the listeners out there. I was completely wrong. Scottie Scheffler did not win by five shots, as I predicted on Tuesday with you guys. He only won by four. So, Dad, I'm sorry to all the listeners out there. I was wrong. This is my formal apology.
All right. Do you have a recording of that? Do you have proof that you picked it by five?
I actually
sure
do.
I think I
can play this here. Here, okay. Give me 1 second.
Let him brag.
I think that Scottie Scheffler, if he just putts decent this week, will win the Masters by five shots.
He only won by four, so I was wrong.
Okay.
Anyways,
right.
Fellas, but
congrats,
Scottie Scheffler is the Masters champion at 11 under par. Ludvig Åberg at 7 under par finishes solo second in his first major championship. We'll definitely get to him. Tommy Fleetwood sneaks into the top three and tied with Max Homa there at 4 under par, as well as Colin Morikawa, who bogeyed 18 to drop to 4 under par as well. Then you have Cam Smith tied for 6th with Bryson DeChambeau. Those two live guys tied for 6th at 2 under par. And then you had Xander Schauffele, solo 8th place at 1 under par. Fellas, I mean, only 8 guys under par for the golf tournament. And then to round out the top 10, you had Will Zalatoris, Tyrrell Hatton, and Cam Young tied at even par, tied for 9th place. I wanted to read this list off to you guys. We were talking about how it's a legacy day for that final group, whether it was Colin Morikawa going to become a 3-time major champion or Scottie Scheffler going to become not only a 2-time major champion, but a 2-time Masters champion. And this is the list that Scottie Scheffler joins as multiple Masters winners. Tiger Woods won 5, Arnold Palmer won 4, Jimmy DeMeritt won 3, Sam Snead won 3, Gary Player won 3, Nick Faldo won 3, Phil Mickelson won 3. Then you got Horton Smith with 2, Byron Nelson with 2, Ben Hogan with 2, Tom Watson with 2, Seve with 2, Bernhard with 2, Ben Crenshaw with 2, Jose Maria Olazabal, who, by the way, made the cut this week with 2, and then Bubba Watson with 2, and now Scottie Scheffler. That's an extremely elite list right there, Dad.
And he does it in his 5th Masters. So he wins his 2nd green jacket in his 5th Masters. They put the list up on CBS today. I don't know if you saw that teed up. It was at Horton Smith, who won his 2 within the first his first 3 or 4 Masters, I think maybe 4 or whatever, and Scottie Scheffler does it in his first 5 Masters. I know it took Arnie his first 6 Masters to get his 2nd green jacket, 6 Masters to get his 2nd, and there were a couple of others, I don't know if you can remember, that took 6 Masters to get their 2nd green jacket. But Scottie, of course, won here in 2022 by 3 over Rory. He led by 5 through 36 holes in that one. But guys, what can you say? I mean, this makes 5 top 20s now in the Masters for Scottie Scheffler. And a guy who won the Players, and he wins at Bay Hill this year, and now he wins the green jacket like Tiger did back in, what was it, 2001 that he did that T-dub. So Scottie Scheffler in very good company. And then he's also number 1 in the official world golf ranking, you know, coming in. And, guys, this doesn't happen as often as you think that it does, because number 1 in official world golf rankings to win the Masters in the last, you know, 3-plus decades, Woosnam did it in 1991. Fred Couples did it the very next year in 1992. Tiger did it back-to-back in 2001. In 2002, all right, Tiger was not number 1 in the world golf rankings in 2005 and, of course, in 2019. But Tiger, Woosnam in 91, Couples 92, Tiger in 2001 and 2, and Dustin Johnson when he won the November Masters in 2020. Those are the only number 1 golfers in the official world golf rankings to win since 1991. And then Scottie Scheffler, of course, does it this year.
Yeah, and I believe one of the charts that I saw today as well saw that Scottie Scheffler, when it comes to age to be able to win the 2nd Masters, I believe the only 3 that were younger than him to do that were Jack, Tiger, and Seve. So he joins a very elite list there, only 27 years old, and he's also a soon-to-be father, will be within the next week. So almost everything going right in Scottie Scheffler's life. And, guys, we've talked about it for a little bit now, but we have to put it into more emphasis of this is just one of the more historic runs of golf that we've seen in some time. You look at how it goes all the way back to the all-time rankings that we've had up until this point. Before he won this week, he had played the 4th best golf of all time, going back to whenever the analytics go back to, which is, I believe, the mid to late 80s. So the only 3 better than that were Tiger, Vijay, and David DeVoe. And I'm going to assume after he wins this week, he's probably going to jump David DeVoe and maybe potentially Vijay. So we're seeing, potentially, Sam, the 2nd best golf that we've seen in the last 40 years.
No, you're right. We keep saying best ball striker since Tiger Woods. We don't say that lightly. It's the absolute truth. And tee to green this week, he gained 4.12 shots on the field per round. And the conditions were so extremely tough that is really, really hard to do. But Scotty really impressed me today with the putting. I mean, yes, he did get off to the slow start, was 1 over through 7 holes, but then made 3 straight birdies at 8, 9, and 10. And I thought that putt on 8 that he made about an 8-footer for birdie after he hit it long right of the green, chipped it to about 8 feet, ran by, and then made that putt. And it gave him what I thought was a whole bunch of confidence. Then he stuffs it at 9, you know, hit, made birdie at 10. But, fellas, today on the greens, he gained 1.37 shots on the field, which when you're hitting the ball that good, like today, tee to green, he gained over 3 shots on the field, tee to green. And when you are able to also gain strokes on the greens, that was Tiger stuff today. And guys did fall around him, like we'll talk next segment about. Those guys were intimidated by the name Scheffler on top of that leaderboard, I thought, Dad.
Well, and at one time after he had bogeyed 7, you know, we had a 3-way tie for the lead when Scheffler dropped to 6 under par. And like you said, he made that putt at 8. I was at the 9 green when he hit that shot in there and backed it up. I thought for a second he had a 2. It came very close to an eagle at number 9 and a tap-in birdie there. And then he had the 3 at number 10, like you said, bogeyed 11, but then textbook. He just at 13 and 14 back-to-back birdie at 16. He played it off the slope, made the putt up the hill at 16. Just a textbook back nine for Scotty Scheffler. Really starting, I mean, a textbook last 11 holes, right, T-Dub?
Oh, absolutely. And you look even going back to the start that he had to make a really good par save on number 2 because he drove in the fairway bunker and then hit his 3rd shot over the green, but then comes back, hits a really good shot in there on 3 to make birdie. But then airmails the green on 4 and proceeds to make a bogey there, and then hits it way left on 7, hits a tree, and actually bombards over to the right trees, which was halfway interesting. But then from that point on, he proceeds to birdie 6 out of his last 11 holes. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier this morning with the finishes that he had at Bay Hill and the Players' Championship, with how rock solid he was in those final rounds, going bogey-free and making so many birdies in that time, really beating the field scoring average on both those days by 5 or 6. And today he did the same thing, beating the scoring average by 4.5 shots. So, yeah, he's kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, Sam, being 1 over through 7, invited a lot of guys back in there. But you compound how well he played on the last 11 holes and then all the mistakes that Obert, Morikawa, and Homa made down the stretch led to him having the green jacket on and then winning by 4 shots.
Right, and we're really going to dissect a lot of those mistakes that you are alluding to right there. I do want to hit the text line before we hit this first break. From the 580, ask, can we get Jeremiah Seymour in for some guest takes? Dad, I know that Golf USA is one of your great sponsors. Can you please tell the people about the great sponsors that helped you get down to Augusta?
Hey, Jeremiah Seymour is as good as it gets. And I tell you what, as far as someone that you need for club repair, if you need advice and fitting and so forth, this guy does work for tour players. Not just the run-of-the-mill golfers like we are, but no. Hey, he's here this week along with Brad Bowen, David Webb, all the great guys from Golf USA, Marty Head, who used to be with Golf USA over at the 12 Tee Box. Just want to say thanks to them, to our man Brian Sorensen at Kicking Bird Golf Club, Ed Lynn at Buffalo Wild Wings, Jason White, and the great people at Air Comfort Solutions, the great people at Crosslands Rental and Sales. And our thanks to Johnson's of Kingfisher, John and Jeff, as good as they come, our title sponsor for our Masters coverage this week. Thanks to all of our sponsors.
And one more, the sponsor that sponsors this very show every single week, Enjoy Vision here in Oklahoma City, the best place if you are considering LASIK surgery in Oklahoma City. You can get $400 off of LASIK in OKC if you just go to enjoywithme.com. That's NJOYwithme.com and enter the promo code SAM400. You can get $400 off of LASIK. Big thank you to Dr. Holstead and Dr. Roby. It worked for me. It'll work for you, too. A whole lot coming up after the break. Full Masters preview on this Masters Sunday. Scotty Scheffler is your champion at Augusta by 4 shots. And we are back here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, Masters Recap Edition. Sam Humphries with you, Taylor Williams with you, as always. And we are joined by Craig Humphries, my dad, the Hump Man, live in Augusta. Fellas, I was watching the Golf Channel and Twitter during that break there. And one thing that we missed is Scotty walking off the green, because we started this show right when Scotty putted out on 18. It was a really cool moment, fellas, that Scotty Scheffler waited for Ted Scott to do the victory walk, you know, walking back to the clubhouse after hugging everybody on 18. And guys, I want you to talk about how much Ted Scott has meant to Scotty Scheffler. Now Ted Scott is a four-time major champion, fellas. Two times with Scotty, two times with Bubba. This guy is one of the best caddies out there, and you can directly correlate when Scotty started playing elite golf compared to really good golf when Ted Scott got on the bag. Now, I'm not saying it's all Ted Scott, but he definitely has a part in it.
Well, I got to say that you're right, Sam, and all four Masters. I mean, two green jackets for Bubba in 2012 and 14, and now Scotty and 22 and 24. So in years ending with two and four, it's good to be Ted Scott. But seriously, this guy, and Scotty Scheffler is a Christian, Ted Scott's a Christian, and the guy is just as solid as can be, respected by all the other caddies, all the other players out here. And I'm not saying he's the reason that Scotty Scheffler is winning majors. There's a lot of reasons that Scotty Scheffler is winning majors. But Ted Scott is another very important reason. Excellent choice in a caddy. Did a great job with Bubba Watson. Now he's doing a tremendous job for Scotty Scheffler. But he, like you said, Sam, he definitely knows his way around Augusta National. They make a very good team, right, T-Dub?
Oh, 100% they do. The caddy is one of the more underappreciated assets in really all of sports. It hardly ever gets talked about. Like, we have Tiger, who's a big name. Obviously, his caddy will get discussed. But generally, the caddy flies under the radar, doesn't get the recognition they deserve. And if you have a bad caddy player matchup, the odds of them playing good is extremely, extremely low. But then you have a matchup like this, which, as you alluded to earlier, both of them being God-fearing individuals, they're going to say that this is a match made in heaven, literally, as Ted Scott. He absolutely loves Augusta National, and Scotty Scheffler, who's a world-talented player. Me and Sam both played with him at various points back in the day, know how talented he is. But for him to be head and shoulders the number one player in the world right now, it's, you don't just get that far by being as talented as he is. The caddy, and as you alluded to, the timing of everything when he started playing a little bit better speaks for itself on how big of an impact he's had.
No, and Scotty has grown. Now, Scotty has been the best at every single level, whether we're talking about him when he was 8 years old and I was playing against him at the Starburst, or in high school when he was playing for Highland Park and I was playing for Edmond North, and we always met in Dallas for this big high school tournament. In college, he was awesome at Texas, and then obviously took him a little bit to get his feet under him on the PGA Tour, but once he did, now he is elite at the highest level there is in golf. And I think the growth that I've seen in Scotty Scheffler is not anything technical with the golf swing or anything like that, even though he's made improvements over the years. But, Dad, I'm sure you remember a little bit too. Scotty was a little bit of a hothead. He's super competitive, does not like to lose. And his biggest asset now is that during those big moments around Amen Corner, he was as calm, cool, and collected as anybody out there, and it proved it. We're about to get to the mistakes that everyone else around him made, but Scotty Scheffler, he even made a bogey at 11, but the key shots that he had to hit, got the three birdies in a row on 8, 9, and 10. At 11, look, he even gained a shot by making a bogey there, just hitting it out to the right. Just smart game management by him, and that's where Scotty, I feel like, has grown the most, is mentally.
Yeah, and that's where Ted Scott comes in, and I do think deserves a lot of the credit for that. But you said it earlier, Sam, that's really where he separated himself, where he won the golf tournament today, is at 8, 9, and 10. And, yeah, you know, bogey 11, but at least don't double 11 like Colin Morikawa did and like Oberg did. You can't afford to hit the ball left at 11, and he didn't make that mistake. What did Ben Hogan say, T-Dub? If I hit it on the 11 green, I pulled the shot, right? So, yeah, go ahead and bogey 11, but don't make the big mistake and double it And then he came back with three birdies in a four-hole stretch from 13 to 16 to put it away.
And the beautiful 9-iron on 12 as well. T-Dub, just talk about what you saw from his course management as well.
Well, one of the things about course management is you have to be able to have some ball control whenever you do it. If you're trying to aim at a certain point and it's within, you hit it within a 50-yard radius, it doesn't matter exactly where you're aimed. But what you can do is you can make swings that you know will not go a certain direction. Like he did on 11, after Morikawa dumps it in the middle of the pond, basically. Scheffler, you could see he tried to hold it off a little bit more and make sure that the club face didn't rotate, so that's why he missed even a little bit further right than he usually would. It led to a bogey, but yet at that point in time, that wasn't going to lose him the tournament. It actually, in a sense, could have won him the tournament. But then after that, the extreme ball control was exceptional. The great shot on 12, if you put a towel out there, the ball would have ended up exactly where he was aimed, even if it's 40 feet from the hole. That's you're not going anywhere near that flag. And then on 13, he was in a little bit of the rough, but then hit a great – he was like 230 yards out, hit a great shot being able to get that on the green and two putt for a birdie. And then hitting the fairway on 14 and then hitting it, catching the slope, getting down there to about 18 inches. Didn't birdie 15, hit it in the bunker, wasn't able to get up and down from there. But then leaves it a little bit below the hole on 16, exactly where you want to, makes the birdie from that point. On the back nine, guys, he hit five of seven fairways, hit seven of nine green, so did everything you needed to do. When you get on that back nine and you do have a little bit of a lead, it was tied earlier in the day, but then whenever you have Obert make the double like he did, and then Homa who hit in the middle of the bushes on 12, and then Morikawa who made so many doubles, that's all you needed to do. And then he just sprinkled some birdies in there just to assure, just to make the margin a little bit bigger.
The wind did not blow today like it did Friday or Saturday, but there was a time early in the round for the leaders, all right, that the wind got up, and there were, so I was over at number two. There were some strong, strong gusts at number two, but it is just amazing how long, like Oberg hit his drive at number two, but then the golfers, I don't think they could feel the wind in the fairway. And at one point, the flag at number two, I was standing right behind the green, and it was just straight out toward us, and the wind was helping them much more than they could feel. And we had a stretch of about a half dozen groups where there were five or six players that airmailed the number two green, and a lot of them well into the crowd. And so this is, again, where a caddy and some management comes in. But we had Oberg go way over the green. I know Homa did. DeChambeau did. I could just go down the list. Guys, were they could not realize how downwind number two was playing at that time. It wasn't playing like that most of the day, but there was about a 30-minute stretch where the wind definitely, and then it did lay down later in the day, and it wasn't even a factor. But it was for a while there at number two. No, and during that stretch is when Cam Smith did put it in the front bunker, and he holed out for eagle. But, of course, that's when I went to the concession stand. And Jim Lowry, I got to say, my man Triple J, in his first Masters, guys, he got to see. He was there when DeChambeau holed out from the fairway at 18, you know, after hitting it in the woods yesterday. We were there when Rahm at number seven today hit it in the woods on the right, chipped out into the fairway. He holed out from the fairway again for birdie at number seven today. And Jim was there when I went to the concession stand. He was there when Cam Smith holed out from the front bunker at number two for an eagle today. And then we almost saw Scheffler. I mean, he came within an inch or so from holing out on number nine today.
Triple J is currently taking applications from any professional golfer that wants to follow him around after hearing all of that. Real quick, back to the wind gust thing before I forget. You could notice that the wind was gusting and really confusing the players, especially like on holes like four with Scottie Scheffler hitting it long. You could tell that he thought there was more wind up there in his face than there actually was. You're exactly right, Dad. You could tell that the players were completely confused at the start of the day. That's why I thought that Colin Morikawa, who actually hit a bunch of good shots to start this final round, I thought that Colin Morikawa really missed opportunities to put a whole lot of pressure on Scottie Scheffler early. He could have started off birdie-birdie. Instead, he starts off par-par. I thought that if Colin Morikawa maybe makes those two birdies, it maybe changes the script a little bit. I know that they caught up to Scheffler, but maybe putting that extra pressure on him early might have changed a little bit.
I got you. And he finally did birdie eight, Morikawa. So he's still one under for the day through eight and was right there. And what happened? Wasn't he on the right side at number nine? I was there, T-Dub, when he played it. But anyway, He plays it into that front bunker at 9. And remember, the pin was at the front, just over the false front, and he got too cute with that first, with his first bunker shot at number 9 and didn't get it out. Hit near the top lip of the bunker, came back, throws it up on there, and of course he puts the second one past and misses the putt, doubles the hole, and that was the beginning of the end for Morikawa. And like T-Dub said, put it well left into the pond at number 11. So two doubles in a three-hole stretch. You're not going to win here. He started making some putts at 13 and 15, did some good things coming down the stretch until he bogeyed 18. But the damage was already done, right, T-Dub?
Oh, 100%. And to make both of y'all's points, earlier in the day, like Sam was talking about, had Morikawa a golden opportunity to make that birdie on 2. He didn't make that. Had a great shot in there on 6 to get it on the top shelf, which we talked about all morning, how hard of a shot it was to do that. Isn't able to capitalize on that birdie. But then on 9, and I'm sitting there, he seemed like he had a decent drive, but it kicked a little bit right, ran through the fairway, got down on that pine straw, and there's a tree right between him and the flag. It was in the worst spot he could possibly be. He tries to go to the right of the tree, and he hits a little bit of a draw, and I'm screaming at the TV. I'm like, you cannot miss left of that flag. Put it right of the green in that situation. At that point, him and Scheffler were tied for the lead. They were at, 7 under, I believe. So at that point, you just have to, when the drive ends up on the pine straw with the tree between you and the flag, you have to take double out of the equation and try your best to make a par. Put it out right of the green, chip it up to 5 feet. If you make the putt, so be it. If not, you only make a bogey, you go into the back 9, and you're not out of the tournament. But you look back on it, that ended up being a 3-shot swing because Scottie Scheffler hits it in there to 2 inches, and at that point, it's going to be hard playing catch-up, and then 11 is where the door was sealed in at the end of the day. But then Scheffler birdies 10, which I think puts a little bit of pressure on him, and then Morikawa, even when he does put it in the bunker on 9, you have to take your medicine, hit it long, and accept the bogey. He got too cute because he saw Scheffler made that birdie, and he didn't want to get out of the race. He got impatient, and it ended up costing him.
That's it.
You're exactly right, T-Dub. I couldn't have said it better myself. Colin Morikawa, so far this year, has been terrible with the irons, which used to be his strength. But at the Arnold Palmer, he lost shot, strokes gained approach. Same thing at the Players and same thing at the Texas Open, and also lost shots in those tournaments on the greens as well. But it seemed like he may have found something the first 3 rounds, but then the irons really let him down. Yes, he left it in the bunker on 9, but he should have never been in the bunker on 9 in the first place. Missed left there, then missed left again at 11, and your tournament's cooked. So my question to you guys is, is this week that Colin Morikawa finishes 3rd just an anomaly compared to the poor play that he's had the previous 10 tournaments? Or do you think that Colin Morikawa is going to return after getting some confidence this week to the 2-time major champion that he is?
Well, we mentioned that he changed coaches here recently and went to Max Homa's coach, Mark Blackburn. And so we'll see how that I think we're going to have to give that some time, the switch of the putters after the first round. I don't know. We'll give that some time. But I think it's too early to say based on, we got to say the guy's just his current form has been poor, right, T-Dub?
It definitely has. And like when we were talking about the start of the year with Scottie Scheffler, we talked about which would happen. Would the putting get worse and the ball striking get better? Would the ball striking go down, the putting get better, vice versa? And for Colin Morikawa, it's been the putting has gotten worse and the iron play has gotten worse, which is a double whammy that is not ideal. He was already a poor putter, and his putting this year has been atrociously bad, especially the last 3 events. This week, he did putt a smidge better, gained almost a full shot on the greens, but he did lose strokes in the first round. But since then, he putted really good in the second and third rounds. But then in the final round, didn't putt extremely good, as we were talking about those putts that he missed early on. And then the thing about Morikawa, too, is that a lot of these new modern players hit the ball extremely far, and Morikawa doesn't. He's below tour average, at least this year, when it comes to distance. He's extremely accurate off the tee, but he's not going to be able to overpower a lot of golf courses, which puts him behind the 8-ball in a decent amount of situations. So he said on Monday he found something on the range. The iron play started to click. Whenever you get into the pressure of trying to win a major championship, your weaknesses will get exposed, and I think that's sort of what happened here. Like, as I mentioned earlier, he got impatient, and he had some loose swings in moments where that just absolutely couldn't happen. So it'll be interesting to see that. And also, too, today in the final round, Morikawa lost almost a full shot around the greens, which we know that his chipping, it hasn't been like hovering bad over the past, but it is something that has held him back from time to time.
I saw him putt some that he definitely should have chipped. Sam, I just got to say,
like
this
on
was
13,
a,
yeah.
This was a big, big day for him because last night, I mean, they're talking, boy, if he wins tomorrow, well, then he's got, you know, three legs of the Grand Slam, all right? And he's going for the Grand Slam at the U.S. Open because he already won, what, he won the 2020 PGA in a second major start. And then he won the 2021 Open at Royal St. George's. But remember, guys, those were kind of no-pressure events during COVID. You know, he didn't have the big crowd around like he did today.
You're saying
the final
it doesn't
group.
Count like the LeBron bubble championship?
Well, I'm just saying it's not the same. You know, with no one there, it's not the same as final round at Augusta National where the whole world is watching. I am just saying this was a huge moment for him where he could have had his third major, final group, all the eyes on him. And Scottie Scheffler went out and shot 68, and Colin Morikawa went out and shot 74. Scheffler beat him by six shots today, and so it's back to the laboratory for Colin.
Fellas, we need to hit a break here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show. When we get back, we're going to talk about Ludvig Åberg. I was so impressed with him this week, even though it didn't go his way. It's still just his first major. We're going to break it down after the break here, but before we hit our break, Dag, please tell the people about the sponsors that helped you get down to Augusta.
You bet. Our title sponsor, Johnson's of Kingfisher. Forget the nonsense. Go to Johnson's of Kingfisher. They've only been doing it since 1927. Golf USA, can't say enough about Brad Bowen, Jeremiah, David, all the great guys at Golf USA. Go see them. Just west of Quail Springs Mall, Kicking Bird Golf, Brian Sorensen. If you haven't experienced Kicking Bird, get out there and play it. One of the best public courses in the nation at Kicking Bird. Tremendous new clubhouse there. Buffalo Wild Wings, Ed Land, Buffalo Wild Wings. Great place to watch the Thunder during their playoff run. Buffalo Wild Wings, Air Comfort Solutions with Jason White, and Crosslands Rental and Sales.
Definitely see all of those guys now that the Masters is done. It's golf season for sure. By the way, if you can't see those guys, you need to go to Enjoy Vision, which is just north of Lake Hefner over here by the Sports Animal Studios. Dr. Olstead and Dr. Roby, the best in Oklahoma City, save $400 off LASIK at enjoywithme.com. That's enjoywithme.com by using the promo code SAM400. Ludvig Åberg talk after the break here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, Masters Recap Edition. And we are back here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, Masters Recap Edition. Sam Humphries, Taylor Williams with you as always, and we are joined by the Hump Man down in Augusta. I want to hit the text line here, fellas, real quick. From the 405 on the Johnny's text line, one of our listeners says, so impressed with Åberg, it's not a matter of if he wins a major championship, it's a matter of when he wins a major championship and how many. I could not agree more. I was super impressed with Ludvig Åberg today. He just made one crucial mistake, hits it in the water on number 11. But, fellas, he started off the day with birdies at 2, 7, and 9. Went out in 33 at Augusta National in your first ever final round in a major championship. Makes the mistake at 11, but remained poised, made a par at 12, and then made birdies at 13 and 14, and then parred in, finishes solo second in, obviously, his first Masters, but his first major ever. I keep reminding myself of that. It's just ridiculous that the same kid that we were covering a couple years ago at Texas Tech, going up against the big boys like Oklahoma State and Oklahoma and Texas in the Big 12 championship, in college golf, this guy played in a Ryder Cup before he even played in a major championship. You know what Ludvig Åberg was doing this time last year, fellas? He was playing in the Thunderbird Collegiate out in Arizona. This guy is something we have never seen before. He's absolutely unbelievable. Finishes solo second at the Masters at 7 under par. What were your thoughts on Ludvig Åberg this week, Dad?
Well, I mean, I've been so impressed with him. I couldn't wait to see him in person after what he's done this year. I mean, you just said it. He was eighth at the Players this year. He was second at Pebble this year. What he did, I mean, like you said, last year he's playing, you know, for Texas Tech in the Big 12, you know, getting ready for the Big 12 tournament or whatever. And then he leaves Texas Tech in the spring and – by November. He's already won in Switzerland in September, and he wins the RSM in South Carolina in November. He's in the top 30 by the end of 2023. Here's a guy, he won all the top college awards, the Ben Hogan, the Jack Nicklaus Player of the Year, also the Fred Haskins.
And PGA Tour U first place as well, which is how he got his tour card.
And, you know, but so by the time the fall's over, he's already played in the Ryder Cup in Italy. I mean, he hit the ground running and qualifies. I mean, he's chosen for the Ryder Cup. That is just unbelievable. This guy, like we said, if you went into a laboratory and tried to create a golfer that could compete at the highest level in today's, you know, PGA Tour, you know, majors, I think it would look like Ludwig Åberg, T-Dub. This guy is so, so, so impressive to me. He's like Scottie Scheffler. I don't see any weakness.
There's been a lot of really talented young players that have come out over the last few decades, but Åberg stands out as one of the pinnacles of that. The amount of talent this kid has is astronomical. It's hard to put into words how much success he's had in such a short time. I do think that the texture is spot on. The question isn't, is he going to win a major? The question is, how many majors is he going to win? That's how special this kid is. Going to how he played today, you would think that playing in your first major, your first master, especially on Sunday in contention, you'd come out and have a kind of a sloppy front nine, and it was the exact opposite of that. He made three birdies on the front nine. He made a great putt on nine. He actually made a really great putt on two as well for birdie. Hit a really great shot in there at seven to secure that birdie there. He actually didn't miss a fairway today, guys, until the 15th hole. So not only is he hitting the ball extremely far, but he's hitting it straight. Here's some of the distance of shots that he hit today. On two, he hit his drive 375 yards. On number seven, he hit his drive 342 yards. Number nine, hit it 372. On number 10, he hit it 350. On number 14, he hit it 328. It's the amount of speed that he can create. And as I mentioned, he's hitting fairways. And then another positive sign, you have to look at it going forward on his chances at Augusta in future years, is that in his first appearance here, he gained two shots on the greens, which is something that people traditionally struggle with the first time out here. They don't understand the speed of them and the breaks, but he putted the greens extremely well. Every signal that we have now, Sam, is pointing at this kid being an absolute superstar.
I got a text this weekend from Jim Traber. If you are one of, we're going to post this on our podcast too. So if you're a listener out there from a different state, does a great sports talk radio show here in Oklahoma City. And Jim texted me and he said, Ludwig Åberg has to be the next superstar on the PGA Tour, right? And I said, no, that's not right. He already is a superstar on the PGA Tour. This guy is so mature at such a young age. It's actually unbelievable. He is already a superstar. Maybe I could count on three fingers, guys, possibly more talented in the world right now than Ludwig Åberg. Tita mentioned those putts on two. And at nine,
I was there. I was going to say there for both of
real
them,
quick,
Sam.
I want you to accentuate to people how those are two of the fastest putts on the entire golf course. You make it from the top ridge on two and from the top ridge on nine. Are you kidding me?
He kills the ball at number two. He hit one of the best drives I've ever seen at number two. But like I said, it was right during that time where the guys couldn't get the wind figured out. He airmails that green, just flies it, you know, into the crowd back there at number two today. And so he's chipping from behind the green, and he left that chip short, still up on the ridge. And so, like you said, Sam, people cannot believe how fast that putt is at number two. And you just got to trickle it down the hill. It's hard to be aggressive on that. And to make that putt, it was just so impressive. And to get out of there with a much-needed birdie if he's going to put pressure on Scottie Scheffler. And then the one at number nine, again, we talked about how the pin at number nine is just over that false front. So, I mean, almost anywhere you are on that green, you're going to be well above the hole. But he's way back on the next level. Just an incredibly tough putt. Down to a different level with a big break to the left, and he just pours it right into the center of the hole, right center of the hole at number nine. Just two of the more impressive putts you're ever going to see. Yes, he did make a rookie mistake hitting it left at number 11. But when all was said and done, guys, there was only one player that was within seven shots of Scottie Scheffler inside seven shots of Scottie Scheffler, and that was Ludvig Åberg. And so the rookie mistake he made at 11, yeah, he can learn from that, but it didn't cost him anything today because he ends up four shots back. But he also ended up three shots clear of third place in his first major, first Masters. I am so impressed.
T-Dub, real quick, do you agree with me that that second shot at 11, I felt like he played a little bit quicker than any of the other shots he played all day? And I'm not talking about when he's over the ball after he's already addressed it. I thought that he could have maybe thought about that shot a little bit more. It just seemed like he didn't take his time on that like a Scottie Scheffler did or like a Max Homa did. Maybe that was part of the rookie mistake as well, that maybe he wanted to play that shot quickly and not think about it, but at the same time, that's just the one place you can't miss.
I agree, yes. I think you have to give that hole its credit, and you just have to accept par on the scorecard. You go out and you try to fire at that flag as he did. It makes it interesting. And the wind was at that point was really swirling. Max Homa in the same group, he sat there and waited almost 5-6 minutes before he hit his shot. There was only four birdies on that hole all day, so it's not a situation where you need to be trying to knock that flag down. But yes, that was a rookie mistake. He will learn from it. A few other things that I think he needs to be able to reflect on as to be able to improve his performance going into the next upcoming years. In the first round, he came out very solidly. He was 2-under through 9, but then on the back 9 in the first round, he shot 3-over. He bogeyed 14 and doubled 15. And for the entire week, guys, he played 15 at 3-over par.
That I was going to bring up 15. I was going to bring that up, T-Dub. I'm glad that you brought that up because he hit a couple of bad tee shots. I know he hit it left, I want to say, a couple of times, at 15 this week. And yeah, if he plays 15 better, think what he would have done. He might have won the tournament. But
yeah, and historically, T-Dub, I mean, the back nine plays a whole lot easier than the front nine. He did the hard part.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah, he came out. He lit the front nine up. And for whatever reason, this year it was a little bit different. The back nine played extremely more difficult on every single day. But yes, you would think that in the nerves you'd want to come out and get off to a good start, and he seemed to do that almost every single round. Unfortunately, those few mistakes in there will cost him. And then I mentioned how good his putting was in his first performance here, but one thing that other players do struggle with in their first few times around here is around the greens, and he lost more than half a shot there. So getting used to the trickiness of the lie or the slopes and everything that you can have around the greens, I guess. And then also knowing the right spots to miss it. If you miss the ball to certain pin locations, you're not going to be able to get up and down. So things that you do in your first time there are the reason that no one's won there in their first time since Fuzzy in 79. So that trend will continue. I thought Åberg would have had a great chance, and he would have if Scottie Scheffler wasn't on one of the best runs of golf that the game has ever seen.
No doubt. The 24-year-old Swede is going to be a multiple-time major champion. In my mind, it just was not today. World number one, Scottie Scheffler, again, if you're just joining us, wins the Masters by four shots over Ludvig Åberg. And Scottie joins this group of world number ones to win the Masters. That would be Ian Woosnam in 91, Fred Couples in 92, Tiger Woods in 01 and 02, and Dustin Johnson in 2020. Scottie Scheffler is on a historical run right now. We need to hit a break on the 73rd Hole Radio Show Masters Recap Edition. When we come back, we're going to talk about Tommy Fleetwood. We're also going to talk about Max Homa and anyone else you want to get into. If you want to weigh in, 405-900-9957 is the Johnny's text line. Dad, before we hit this break, can you please mention your great sponsors that helped you get down to Augusta?
You bet. Our title sponsor, Johnson's of Kingfisher, also Crosslands, Rental and Sales, Air Comfort Solutions, Buffalo Wild Wings, Kicking Bird Golf, and Golf USA.
Much more coming up for Hour 2 of the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by our good friends at Enjoy Vision.
Hello, golfers. Hey, golfers here.
This is the 73rd Hole Radio Show with Sam Humphries and Taylor Williams.
I'm Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Woods.
Sam!
Sponsored by Enjoy Vision, a fresh perspective.
It is Hour 2 of the 73rd Hole Radio Show live on the Sports Animal. If you missed Hour 1, this is getting posted to the podcast as soon as we are done right here. We came on air as soon as Scottie Scheffler made the putt on 18 that won him the green jacket by four shots. Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters at 11 under par. Ludvig Åberg at 7 under par finishes solo second, and then Tommy Fleetwood and Max Homa tie for third place at 4 under par. Sam Humphries, Taylor Williams, Craig Humphries live in Augusta with you. Fellas, let's talk about that. Those two guys tied for third place, and let's start with Max Homa. Homa really had it off to a good start, was even par through 7 holes, then gets the birdie at 8, and actually had the co-lead at that point. But fellas, he made a double bogey at number 12, and really he birdied 10 as well, but then made the double at 12 and really hit a pretty solid shot. Got a bad bounce off the back of the green, bounces over the bunker, the back bunker on 12 into the bushes, has to take an unplayable and ends up making double at 12. And then Max ended up parring 13, 14, 15, and 16, and then made a bogey at number 17 as well to drop him to 4 under par. And then he pars 18 to finish tied for third with Tommy Fleetwood. T-Dub, what were your thoughts on what you saw from Max Homa during this final round?
Well, he came out in pretty solid form, which was a good thing to see. Homa, as we had documented a lot during this week, had not played very well at the Masters, with his best finish in 4 appearances being 43rd. And then overall in majors, he had only had 2 appearances inside the top 15. So a situation that he had not been accustomed to, really had never had a chance to win a major officially. And now he did have that. It comes out, and as you alluded to, is 1 under on the front 9. He was 2 under through 10. And right around that time, he was on 11, made a really good par on 11. But then right around that time is when Obeyer hit his shot in the water. Morikawa just a little bit earlier had doubled 9, and that's when all the dominoes were starting to fall. And then Homa gets on 12T, and what does he do? He looks like he was aiming at a good spot. It looks like he maybe pulled it just a little bit. And what happens whenever you pull it, the ball goes a little bit further. And whenever it landed, it took a massive hop. I mean, absolutely massive. And it went straight into the bushes. Had it been a yard further right, it would have ended up in the bunker. Had it been a yard further left, it would have been in the pine straw, which 90% of the time when the ball's in the pine straw, it would actually roll back down into the little collection area there, which would have been it wouldn't have been the easiest chip in the world. It would have been a lot better than having to take an unplayable. And then unfortunately his unplayable was his 2 club lengths was about 4 inches away from being able to drop on the grass, which would have made that shot a lot easier. Having hit off the pine straw, you're so paranoid about catching it a little bit thin and blasting it in the water so he doesn't even get on the green from there, which secured his double and his fade from there, because Scottie Scheffler's playing so good, there's no way you're going to catch him no matter what happened after that. But didn't make any birdies after that point. And then you look back on this as well, as we were talking about last night on the radio show, is he went from the fourth hole in the second round all the way to the second hole today in the fourth round without making a birdie. He only made 2 bogeys during that stretch, but he didn't make any birdies. So unfortunately he was hanging around there, but at the end of the day, when you have a bulldog like Scheffler, he's going to go out and make birdies at some point. He just did it towards the end. Not being able to make any birdies during that stretch is, I think, what Homa's going to look back on that cost him.
No, I agree with that, Deb. What were your thoughts on Homa?
Well, I just think he's going to look back as what could have been in this tournament, right, guys? Because what's so impressive in that second round when he made the 17 pars, right, T-Dub? I mean, in the second round, he had the 1 bogey at 11, right, and 17 pars on that windy day on Friday. That was just, I mean, just incredibly impressive. And then, like you said, even yesterday, the bogey at 12, another round with 17 pars, right?
That's correct.
And then, like T-Dub said, he was in position. After he did, one thing he did do is he got the 2 front 9 par 5s at 2 and 8, even though he did bogey 7. But he was in very good position after that birdie at 10 to finish in second place. And when all was said and done, like we said, guys, there were only 2 guys in this tournament that broke 4 under par. There were better than 4 under par. That's incredible. That shows how tough this course played all weekend. Only 2 players in the field were better than 4 under par, but Homa had a chance definitely to be one of those guys. Ended up being obviously Scheffler and Åberg, but Max has to be disappointed. Like you said, TW, you just can't make that mistake, go that high up. you know, where you got to take an unplayable and ends up with the double there and then the bogey at 17. So really three over on his final seven holes, or three over on the final eight holes after the birdie at number 10. Just a disappointment. I know he tied for third with Morikawa and Fleetwood. You know, three-way tie for third at the Masters is not that bad, but he really played better than that. I mean, he should have been a lot better than four under par. He missed so many putts. I mean, he just didn't make anything. He could have been 10 under par in this tournament in a heartbeat. He really could have.
No, I totally agree with you. And when we talk about Scottie Scheffler, how he's, you know, just head and shoulders better than these guys by the analytics, by the numbers, one of the reasons that is he misses in the correct place. Look at the second shot at 11 for Scottie Scheffler throughout this tournament compared to all the guys that fell around him, like Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg, or Rory, you know, earlier in the tournament, who hit in the water on 11 as well. Look at the difference between Max Homa's tee shot at 12 and Scottie Scheffler's tee shot at 12 during this final round. Scottie just hit a beautiful 9-iron right into the middle of the green, and Max Homa, who hit a decent shot, it looked like he struck it well, but you cannot miss long right there. It took the huge hop, bad break that it stayed up in the bush, but at the same time, that is the fine line between being elite and being great, which Max Homa is a great iron player, but did not convert when he needed it the most on number 12 at Augusta today. And that kind of leads me into my next question, fellas. T-Double, I'll ask you first. Do you think that there was an intimidation factor? We always used to talk about Tiger. Once his name was creeping up the leaderboard or on top of the leaderboard, there was an intimidation factor and guys started kind of puking down their leg a little bit. And we saw a little bit of that today with Scottie Scheffler. Do you think that Scottie making those three straight birdies and hearing all the roars behind these groups with, you know, Åberg and even Bryson, you could throw in this mix as well. Obviously, Morikawa was playing with them, but Åberg and Max Homa were listening to those roars happening behind them on 8, 9, and 10. Do you think they started pressing a little bit too much, knowing that Scheffler was really riding the ship after the slow start?
It's an interesting question because I don't think these guys are necessarily intimidated by Scottie Scheffler, but I think that he's playing at such an elite level that you know that he's not going to come back to you. So you do feel like that you are pressing to try to make some birdies if he is a little bit out there. It's exactly what Colin Morikawa did on the ninth hole. Instead of taking his medicine and accepting trying to make bogey being the worst score that he could and just trying to salvage a par, he tried to get greedy and hooked his shot too close to the flag and it went in the bunker. Then he got greedy again by trying to hit the bunker shot too close and left it in there and secured his double. Had it been anyone else besides Scottie Scheffler at that point who just stiffed it on nine, maybe he would have done something different. So I definitely think, Huntman, that the fact of that he's playing so elite right now is setting a precedent for all the other players to say that, well, if he's two or three shots ahead, the only thing he's going to do is keep getting lower and lower and lower. He's not going to make bogeys to come back to me. I have to try to fire at a few more flags and that kind of thing. So I do think these guys were definitely pressing out there.
You know, when he made the two bogeys in four holes at four through seven, I mean, he made the bogey at four and then again the bogey at seven. So played those four holes two over. And I said at that time, if he keeps making mistakes like that and leaving the door open, someone is going to get hot and make a bunch of birdies on this golf course. And the someone who got hot and made a bunch of birdies, like 6 and 11 holes, was Scottie Scheffler as he birdied 6 out of the last 11 holes. So you're right. It's just his game, Sam, that puts the pressure on the other guys. You just know that he's rarely going to make the big mistake, and his consistency, you know, we've talked about it all week, what he did last year on the PGA Tour, what, 18 straight top 12s? 18 straight top 12s on the PGA Tour? That kind of consistency, you just know, like I said, the guy didn't, his putting was a weakness, I guess, last year, we could say, because he probably would have won at least, what, 4 to 6 other times if he was putting better last year. But outside of that, he just doesn't have many weaknesses, and he's not going to make the big mistake. And so you knew what you said when he beat 8, 9, and 10. That's where the tournament was won, right there, right, guys?
100%. And obviously the guys who were closer to Scheffler to start the day, like Åberg and Homa, Morikawa, DeChambeau, all those guys were playing with immense pressure on their shoulders to start the day. You always at Augusta get somebody who's going to backdoor a top five, and that somebody today was Tommy Fleetwood, who really played amazing golf today. Bogey-free, 3-under 69 for Tommy Fleetwood to finish the golf tournament, tied for third at 4-under par. Tommy made a birdie at 1, amazing birdie, by the way. Made a birdie at 7. 7 was playing tough, especially tough tee shot today. And then got another birdie at 13 with no blemishes on the scorecard. T-Dub, what were your thoughts on Tommy Fleetwood? He literally made no mistakes today.
Yeah, no, it was 3 birdies, no bogeys from there. He hit 13 of 14 fairways, hit 12 of 18 greens. So you could say that maybe he had a few loose iron shots, but the short game definitely saved him. He gained more than a shot and a half on the greens and a shot and a half around the greens today, and more than a shot and a half off the tee as well. So literally everything besides his irons today was spot on. He just kind of floated around there, never really was a thought for this tournament. I guess you could maybe say on the front nine on the first day he was 3-under on the front nine, but then proceeded to go 3-over on the back nine, which he shot 72, shoots a 1-under 71 in the second round, shoots an even par in the third round. So never at any point are you seeing Tommy Fleetwood up there on the leaderboard and thinking that he's going to have a chance. But you look there at the end of the day, he plays really good today on Sunday, makes no bogeys, and you let the other guys do their thing, make the bogeys, make the mistakes, and come down. Next thing you know, you have Tommy Fleetwood up there in a top three finish, which is very good. His highest finish coming into this Masters was a tied 14th. He did have three total top 20s in the Masters, but never anything better than 14th. So if he can ever improve on a third place finish, then that would be extremely good for him. But at least at this point, he's still looking for his first win on the PGA Tour, which is a crazy thing to see. Hopefully for him, he can maybe get it done at a major, but at least at this point, guys, he was just kind of floating around there, and he just kind of is the definition of a backdoor top three, because never at any point did you think he was going to win this turn.
Yeah, no question about that, T-Dub, as far as winning the tournament. But 69 today, I mean, I got a lot of respect for that. No bogeys, I got a lot of respect for that. He was one of those guys at number two. He had to lay up at number two, and he also misjudged the wind on his third shot into the green, and it hit, bounded over the green. He's into the back fringe, and he took a putter from that back fringe. He's in the back middle, so this is no easy putt, even to get within, 10 feet of the cup or whatever, within 8 feet of the cup. Had to putt through the fringe, had to have the speed right and so forth. He almost holed it for a birdie. Caught the right lip, had a power lip, and he made the putt for par. But I was very impressed with his round today, just with no bogeys on this firm, fast golf course. And he only birdied one of the 4 par fives today, so his other 2 birdies were on two tough holes, number 1 and number 7. That gets my attention on the front nine today. So in my mind, he earned his way into that top three. Excellent round by Tommy Fleetwood in his 8th Masters, tied for 14th here 2 years ago when Scottie Scheffler won it. But he's had now 8 top tens in majors. He was 2nd at the 2018 U.S. Open, and also in the, 2019 British Open, all right? So the guy, 33 years old. Tommy, he's played in 3 Ryder Cups. I'm just saying, this guy has been a solid player for a long time.
No, he really has. He's just been streaky so far this year. Like, he's the 12th ranked player on Datagolf, so he obviously has his great weeks. Like, he finished tied for 10th at the Genesis at Riviera, also finished 7th at the Valero Texas Open last week, but he also throws in some clunkers. Missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer. He also finished tied for 35th at the Players, tied for 31st at Pebble Beach. So he is a streaky player, but when he gets hot, he definitely is one of the better players in the world. One more guy backdoored a top 10 finish, really a top 6 finish. Cam Smith today on his round eagled number 2, as we talked about earlier, hold the bunker shot, then he bogeyed number 5, then proceeds to make 13 straight pars to finish out his Masters at 2-under par, tied for 6th with his live companion Bryson DeChambeau, both of those guys tying for 6th at 2-under par. T-Dub, what were your thoughts on what Cam Smith did today? Another kind of backdoor top 6.
Yes, it was. He just kind of floated around all tournament. You look at the stats, and he didn't hit his driver very good or his irons very good. His ball striking was not ideal. Look at everyone up there who was inside of the top 10. He was the only one who lost strokes gained off the tee and the only one who lost strokes gained approach as well. So the thing that saved him to be able to backdoor this finish was gaining more than a shot on the greens, which you expect from one of the best putters, if not the best putter in the world. And he gained more than a shot and a half around the greens as well. So that definitely saved him. One thing that's interesting going through here and looking at Cam Smith's scorecards, he only had two birdies the entire week on the back nine. He actually didn't make one birdie the entire time on the back nine on the weekend. He had one bogey on 18 yesterday, and he, other than that, for the weekend on the back nine, he made all par. So if you were out there watching Cam Smith, it might have became a snooze fest, because when you make that many pars, like come on, man, at least make a bogey or do something to get a little bit of excitement. That's fairly crazy that's how it looked whenever you see how he performed on the closing stretch.
That is just crazy, T-Dub. But I got to say this about Cam Smith. You know, he tied for second back in 2020. Now, that was in the November Masters that Dustin Johnson won, tied for second in that one. But, guys, with this high finish for Cam Smith, tied for sixth today, that makes now top tens in five of his last seven Masters, all right? So that's pretty darn good. Of course, he won the Players and the British in 2022. Really good player. And remember, guys, he was the first one ever here at Augusta National with four rounds in the 60s, Cam Smith.
No doubt. After the break, we will go from Ripper to Crusher and talk about Bryson DeChambeau, as well as Xander Schauffele, who snuck into the top 10 as well. And I also want to talk about the low am this week, Neil Shipley, when we come back on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision. Save $400 off of LASIK at enjoywithme.com. That's N-J-O-Y withme.com by using the promo code SAM400. Dad, would you please tell the people about your great sponsors that helped you get down to Augusta?
You bet. Crosslands, Rental and Sales, Air Comfort Solutions, Buffalo Wild Wings, Kicking Bird Golf Club in Edmond, Golf USA, and our title sponsor, Johnson's of Kingfisher. Forget the nonsense. Go to Johnson's of Kingfisher. They've been doing it since 1927.
More Masters recap coming up after the break here on Oklahoma's leader in golf, the 73rd hole. And we are back here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, Masters Recap Edition. Sam Humphreys, Taylor Williams with you as always, as well as the Hump Man down in Augusta. Fellas, I definitely want to talk about Bryson and Xander, but before we do that, I want to play this for anyone who missed it today. This is Vern's final call in the tower on 16 at Augusta.
Scotty Scheffler with another birdie, his seventh of the day. As Vern said, why not? Vern wrote a book back in 2018 called Play by Play. And the last line in the book that you wrote, Vern, I want to apply it to you. You said, thanks, to borrow a phrase, thanks for the memories. Your voice has been a beautiful instrument. Thank you for a wonderful soundtrack for all of our lives.
Thank you so much, Jim. My honor, my privilege.
The music was kind of loud there, so if you couldn't make it out, Vern said, it's my honor and my privilege. Fellas, we are all so privileged to be able to hear Vern Lundquist on the call over all of these years, from, you know, maybe yes, sir, to in your life, have you ever seen anything like that? Dad, what are your thoughts on Vern Lundquist's final Masters?
Well, I think Tiger said it very well, and of course, one of his most memorable calls, of course, was, oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. In your life, have you ever seen anything like that, when Tiger chipped it in? But Tiger said this week, he said he just has an amazing ability to bring in the audience and describe a situation and just be able to narrate it in a way that is poetic, but is also, he describes it with emotionality is the way Tiger put it this week. He just draws the audience in. And he says, that's what I grew up watching. I grew up listening to Vern. And he made a nice call there at 16 talking about his chip shot. And it's one that I've been lucky enough to, he said, I have that memory with Vern for the rest of my life. Tiger Woods.
T-Dub, any thoughts on Vern?
Well, he's just an absolute legend. He's an icon of what he does. He's one of those voices that you hear that and you know exactly who it is, and you think of iconic moments in sports. We documented a lot of them this morning whenever we were previewing today's final round. But it just the 86 jackpot to be there on 16 when Tiger had the ball hang on the lip, to be there, even the call in 2019 when Tiger hit a close shot in there on 16. So he had some of the best calls and arguably the two best golf tournaments that the game has ever seen. That is the definition of legendary. And it will be unique next year watching the Masters without hearing him call 16. It's going to definitely be a twist on things for sure.
There's no doubt about it. Congratulations to Vern Lundquist on his retirement, his 40th and final call at Augusta National.
Maybe
today.
Yes, sir.
That is exactly right. Fellas, let's dive right back into the leaderboard. Before the break, we were talking about Cam Smith, who was tied for sixth at 2 under par. The guy he was tied with was Bryson DeChambeau, who was also 2 under par, shot 1 over in his final round. Got off to a really rough start with bogeys at 1 and at 3, but then got birdies at 4 and 5 and made all pars until 17, where he made a bogey at 17, pars 18 to finish 2 under on the golf tournament and give him a 73 in the final round. T-Dub, what were your thoughts on what you saw from Bryson today? He just never really made that push, and the rough start really hurt him.
Yes, it did. Yeah, being 2 over 2, 3 is not what you need when you're going to go out and try to chase. Scottie Scheffler did get him back with great birdies at 4 and 5. That's something that we did not see happen very often at all. But then from 6 through 16, made all pars. And unfortunately, at that point, he was only 3 under. Seemed like he was 3 under for the majority of today. And he needed to be able to go out there and make a birdie to put a little bit of pressure on. He had some opportunities. He missed a few putts there on the back nine that he could have made. But at the end of the day, it wouldn't have made a difference. It just would have put him higher up on the leaderboard. Look at what he did for the week. Coming out and shooting 7 under in the first round was absolutely stellar. And then even the 1 over 73 in the second round, I think, was very good. Hitting 12 of 14 fairways in those conditions is very, very impressive. But you look at what Bryson did on the weekend, I think it cost him. Both in the third round and the fourth round, he only hit 9 greens each round, which is not ideal. That's not going to give you very many birdie opportunities. And then you look at it, the last 10 holes that he played yesterday on Saturday,
that
he
was
had
it.
4 bogeys and a double in there. He did have 3 birdies in there, but when you make that many mistakes, Huntman, and whenever you have to hole out on 18 to have one of those birdies, that's what shot you out of the tournament.
That's it, T-Dub. You said it. In the last 10 holes yesterday, 4 bogeys and a double. Now, yeah, he did have a birdie at 10, 14, and 18 yesterday. Hold the shot for after he hit it in the woods, deep in the woods at 18, holds the third shot from the fairway for his birdie there. But that's where he, like you said, I mean, 66 in the opening round, even through the first 8 holes on Saturday, he still has a chance to win this golf tournament. But it just kind of got away from him, and we talked yesterday about his course management at 15. I thought he was trying to force the issue a little bit too much at 15, led to a double bogey there, and he comes back with another bogey at 16 yesterday. You just can't make 4 bogeys and a double in a 10-hole stretch on Saturday afternoon and win the green jacket.
No, and that's what we've always kind of seen, especially when Bryson is playing good. We've seen Bryson not be able to limit the big mistakes. And we've seen that on LIV so far this year, too. Like, when you look at the analytics, Bryson DeChambeau is the 21st ranked player in the world headed into this week on Data Golf. He's been playing really, really solid. But you look at his finishes on LIV, and it's 6th, 4th, 9th, you know, 25th. This week he finishes tied for 6th. He also finished tied for 7th. In Miami last week, it just seems like Bryson is not giving himself opportunities to win these golf tournaments because he just makes that one massive mistake that puts you down in the sixth, seventh category instead of the battling for first and second and third. DW, do you see that with Bryson? I just think he makes too many big mistakes at crucial times, and this week it was on Saturday on that back nine.
Yeah, that seems to be the trend that you've seen with Bryson. He was, I believe he had the lead at the Las Vegas Live tournament, and those conditions were fairly tough in that final round, and he fell all the way down in ninth place. So, yeah, definitely some of that going on. And you look at how he putted on the weekend. In the third and fourth round, he lost more than a shot on the greens both of those times, so that's something that has held him back. And we talk about Bryson even going into this Masters, guys. I mean, he had not had a good record here at all. His best finish was a 21st place finish. He had a 29, 34, 38, and 46 in there along with two missed cuts. So this is not a course that is set up for him traditionally well in the past. So by far his best finish here. I just think that he's like you said, Sam, he does make those mistakes, especially at a course like Augusta National, where it's so demanding and you have to be so precise on so many things. You'd think someone like who's super analytically like he is would be able to excel in that, but it hasn't been the case. He hasn't been able to master Augusta National, and no one can master Augusta National. I think that's something that he's just going to have to accept. Know the spot that you have to miss it. Kind of get to know the greens a little bit better. Get to know around the greens as well. He actually lost strokes gained around the greens this week, so his chipping could be a little bit more improved. So Bryson has a lot to work on. Did gain more than a shot and a half off the tee. He led the field in that category. So his driving is one of the most elite in the game right now. So as long as he can do that, he'll have his weeks where he putts good and things click. So he's not done winning golf tournaments, I assure you.
But he's at least starting to be a factor in majors again. Last year, he tied for fourth in the PGA. All right. And so he had four top tens in majors last 4 years. So this make it five top tens in majors in the last 5 years. So, yeah, he hasn't gone away. And like you said, T-Dub, the best finish he had ever had here was back when he was the low am here back in 2016. So by far his best finish as a professional.
No doubt about it, guys. And we got a text here on the Johnny's text line that is criticizing Bryson's short game and saying that he's terrible around the greens because of the same length clubs. The texter says, I think that hurts him. I have to maybe agree with that a little bit. Some of the things he does make a whole lot of sense. You know, like everything he does off the tee makes a whole lot of sense. Even the bulge and roll irons this week, that makes sense to me. I mean, he comes up with some great things, but having the same length, you know, wedges and everything, it just sometimes I feel like he's not as good around the greens as some of the other elite players in the world. But like you said, Dad, he is contending in major championships and he's playing some really solid golf on Live, but not necessarily winning Live events week in and week out. I think that that's because of the short game and the putting. Let's talk about Xander Schauffele, who it was solo eighth place at 1 under par for the tournament. A lot of talk about Xander last night. Is he going to make a push? He was kind of that line where we said, you know, Xander could make a push. He was 2 under par to start the day. He shoots 1 over par in his final round, 73, and it was a roller coaster. Made 5 bogeys and 4 birdies on his round. Just never really made that push, and it's because he made the birdies that he really needed to make at times, but he was limiting himself because of the 5 bogeys. Bogeyed 5 and 6. Then gets it back with a birdie at 8, but then bogeys 10 and 12, but then makes 2 birdies at 13 and 15 on the par 5s, but then bogeys 18. He just never really got anything going today. It wasn't necessarily a backdoor top 10, but he never contended either, T-Dub.
No, he didn't. No, you look back and you go back on it, him shooting 2 over on the first night on Thursday really shot him out of it. He was only even after the first round. He needed to be a lot lower than that. Played stellar in the third round, shot a bogey-free 2 under with birdies on 3 and 13. But today, as you mentioned, it was just an up and down roller coaster. He actually struck the ball very well. He gained more than a shot with his irons and gained almost half a shot off the tee, but he lost almost a full shot around the greens, and he did lose more than a full shot on the greens putting. So the short game definitely held him back today, guys. And you know, I mean, we've been saying it for a long time now. He is a great player. He's going to contend in a lot of tournaments. He's going to make a lot of money playing this game, going to have a lot of high finishes. You look at the analytics, he does almost every single thing in his game well on a consistent basis. But for whatever reason, he finishes eighth this week, and it's just another clockwork example of high finish for Xander Schauffele, but not getting the job done. Will he ever be able to do it? We'll just have to wait and see. But it seems like it's just a common trend of another one of those great players, so much talent, but just isn't able to kick the door down and break through and get the major championships.
And I'm one. I thought he would make a run today. I picked him third place in this tournament. He did get all four par fives, but then he bogeyed 5, 6, 10, 12, 18. He offset it, the good work on the par fives, by making 5 bogeys and finishing with a 73. Got nothing out of it. Finishes 8th place in the tournament. So, yeah, Mark Dunn, another top 10 and a major for Shoffley. We talked coming into this week that he already had 6 top 5s, 11 top 10s, 19 top 20s, and 26 major starts. So make this 12 top 10s in majors for Xander and 20 top 20s, but still looking for that first major win.
No, he just has, it looks like he has 1,000 bricks on his shoulders, right? He hasn't missed a cut on the PGA Tour since the 2022 Masters. And fellas, he has 0 wins in 2023 and has 0 wins in 2024. 8 starts so far in 2024, 6 top 20s and 4 top 5s. That's phenomenal, but 0 wins last year and so far this year. I wonder if Xander will ever get that monkey off his back of winning a major championship. Fellas, we got to hit a break here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show Masters Edition. Sam Humphreys, Taylor Williams with you as always. Craig Humphreys live in Augusta. When we come back, I want to talk about the amateur, Neil Shipley, and I also want to get your thoughts on Tiger Woods completing 4 rounds at Augusta National as well. Dad, before we hit this break, please tell our listeners about your great sponsors down there in Augusta.
You bet. Crosslands Rental and Sales, Air Comfort Solutions, Ed Lynn, Buffalo Wild Wings, Brian Sorensen at Kicking Bird, Brad Bowen, the great guys from Golf USA. Saw them all week down here in Augusta. And our title sponsor, we want to thank the great John Johnson. John and Jeff, just tremendous people to deal with at Johnson's of Kingfisher.
Good stuff there. And the 73rd Hole Radio Show is always sponsored by our good friends at Enjoy Vision. They are the best in Oklahoma City. Dr. Holstead and Dr. Roby. Go to enjoywithme.com and enter the promo code SAM400 to get $400 off of LASIK surgery. It worked for me beautifully. I can see my drives when they go into the right trees all the time now, fellas. But Enjoy Vision is the best in Oklahoma City. One more segment after this on Oklahoma's leader in golf, the 73rd Hole Radio Show. And we're back for one final segment here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision. Sam Humphreys, Taylor Williams, and my dad, the Humpman Craig Humphreys, down in Augusta. Tiger Woods went out early today with the low am, who obviously knew he was going to be the low am because he was the only am to make the cut, Neil Shipley. Neil Shipley plays as a grad student at Ohio State. He was the low am in the 2024 Masters, tied for 53rd this week, but he was at the 2023 USAM. He was the runner-up there at Cherry Hills. He also finished runner-up at the 23 Transmiss and the Susquehanna Amateurs as well, and then won the 2022 Pennsylvania State Amateur as well. But imagine getting that call on Saturday night and saying, hey, you're playing with Tiger Woods at Augusta National on Sunday tomorrow. Neil Shipley came out today and shot 1 over par, and Tiger shot 5 over par. So Neil Shipley, the amateur, beats Tiger by 4 shots in the final round today. Shipley finishes tied for 53rd at 12 over, and Tiger finishes dead last of the players that made the cut at 16 over, shot 5 over today. Tiger made a birdie at 2, made a bogey at 3, made a triple at 5, then bogeyed 6, then made all pars until 15, made a bogey at the par 5 15th and parred in for a final round 77. So 82-77 for Tiger Woods on the weekend. And there was also, after the round, an interesting piece of audio that I'll play here from Neil Shipley, a little awkward moment in the press room. I guess Tiger apparently gave Neil Shipley a note, but Neil Shipley denies it.
I saw on one fairway, on a fairway, he wrote something and handed you a note. What was that about? Did you
No, he didn't.
Oh, I thought he wrote something and handed you a piece of paper.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of awkward silence there from Neil Shipley, but I don't know what the note said. All I know is that Neil Shipley had a heck of a Sunday beating Tiger Woods, playing with him for the first time at Augusta National. Dev, what were your thoughts on Tiger and Neil Shipley?
Well, I walked by the scoreboard after nine holes, and I saw Tiger had shot a 40 and Shipley had shot a 35 on the front. And like you said, he ends up beating him by four shots. I saw Shipley out with Oberg in a practice round. Like I said, he hit this power fade past Oberg on number five on Friday. That got my attention. But out of James Madison and then went to Ohio State, transferred to Ohio State. You know, he's done well on a bunch of big amateur events. I mean, the Southwest Invitational in California. He's second in the Dogwood. He's done well in the Sonny Hanna, I think, second in the Dogwood, Sonny Hanna, and Transmiss. Those are three big amateur events. And then he was runner-up to Nick Dunlap in the 2023 USAM, and he's some other big titles in Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania Junior and Open titles and so forth. So the guy, you know, only 23 years old, big week for him, and you get to go head-to-head with Tiger Woods, and you can say – you know, I played with the great one and beat him by four shots at the Masters on a Masters Sunday. That's a good memory for Neil Shipley.
T-Dub, any thoughts on what you saw from Tiger over the weekend? Obviously disappointing. We talked a lot about him yesterday, but he does make the cut. Obviously 24 straight, that's a record at Augusta National. What were your thoughts on Tiger over the weekend?
Well, he did get through 72 holes, which is halfway encouraging. For sure. The disheartening thing is that he played very, very solid golf the first two rounds, considering how little of competitive golf he had been able to play. But things just broke down yesterday. He was even par through five holes yesterday, but then proceeds to go six over on the hole six through nine, which was not ideal at all, and then shoots 40 on the back nine to close with his highest round in a major, 82. And then today he birdies two, so he's one under through two, so that is ideal, but then bogeys three and then makes the triple on five, which definitely set things back. And then from there, it's just just get it in the house at that point and just try to make sure that you don't aggravate any more injuries. So it's always great to see Tiger Woods play golf. Who knows how many times we'll get to see it the rest of our lives. But at least this week, from an analytical perspective, he didn't hit the ball good. He didn't putt good. The only thing that was promising is that his short game was very solid. He gained about 0.35 shots around the green. So he still has his hand, still can hit those miraculous shots around the greens. He's shown a lot of signs of brilliance this week, but unfortunately with how little he's played in the body stuff that he's dealing with, there's just too many holes in his game for him to even think about trying to contend in any type of high competitive golf tournament right now.
Right. And after the round, Tiger did confirm that he's going to be taking scouting trips for the upcoming major championships. Said, quote, "I got to do my homework going forward at Pinehurst, Valhalla, and Troon. Got to get up there early and check them out." So I guess Tiger is planning on playing all three major championships, Dad, but I don't know if his body can hold up for 72 holes. We saw this trend at Southern Hills where he makes the cut, has to withdraw. Last year at the Masters, makes the cut and has to withdraw. And this year makes the cut, but then finishes dead last of the players that made the cut. I just hope that Tiger isn't pushing it too hard to, you know, just make cuts in these major championships to where we might not ever get a special week where he's going to contend because he keeps breaking down his body trying to come back. Or I don't even know if it's early. I don't know if we'll ever see Tiger Woods even somewhere up in the top 15 area come a Sunday afternoon.
I just give it up to him, though, for coming back today after the 82. And let's face it, last nine holes, Wover had the bogey at 15, eight pars in his last nine holes. So give it up to him, even though he finished dead last, beat a ton of really good players in the first two rounds, and he does make the cut for the 24th Masters in a row. And so good for his 24th in a row. That's quite a cut streak. So a lot to be proud of for Tiger this week. A lot of people didn't expect him to play 72 holes this week.
No doubt about it. Fellas, the last thing I got for you is Scottie Scheffler going forward. Obviously, wins the Masters and Bay Hill and the Players so far in 2024. Does Scottie Scheffler win another major this year in 2024, T-Dub?
Well, I'm going to just say that he does. Yeah, he's got the next three majors were Valhalla, Royal Troon, and Pinehurst in there. So I feel like that with how well he's striking the ball, that game is going to transcend to any course that you're going to play. And we're going to have to look on it, guys, as well as he won the Players, he won Bay Hill, and now he's won the Green Jacket. Three wins already. We may be looking at, if he continues on this trend, one of the best seasons that we've ever seen in the history of the game. If he keeps going on, we could be seeing potentially 7, 8, 9 wins if he keeps going like this.
Hey, and before I get to Scotty, I want to give it up to Taylor Moore, top 20, tied for 20th with the 2-under par round today. Taylor Moore from Edmond, of course, and also University of Arkansas. I don't see why not, Sam. I know that's the easy answer right now. It's not that easy to win a major. Scottie Scheffler's never won one outside of here at Augusta National. So it's going to be tough, but I see no weaknesses. I see no reason why he can't.
Well, Tiger Woods in 2000 and 2001, that was a great two-year stretch, probably the greatest of all time. He won 50% of his majors, but he was only top 10 in six. I say only, but he was only top 10 in 66.7% of the tournaments that he played. Scottie Scheffler, he's only won 22% of the majors, 2 out of 9. But Scottie Scheffler, top 10s, 71.7% of the time. So he's just putting himself in contention time and time again. I would have to say, yes, Scottie Scheffler does win one of the next three majors. Scottie Scheffler is the champion at Augusta National in 2024, 11 under par, won by 4 shots over Ludvig Åberg. T-Dub, thank you so much for all of your great analytics this week and all of your great analysis throughout the week here on Masters Week. And Dad, thank you for joining us on the 73rd Hole Radio Show every single day this week as well. Can you please one final time tell all of our listeners about the great sponsors that made Masters Week happen and brought you out of retirement?
Well, I just want to thank you guys for letting me join you. You guys do a great job. Folks, if you're not listening to the 73rd Hole Radio Show and podcast, you are missing out. Jim Woodward, of course, joins the guys on the podcast. T-Dub, you're the best. Enjoyed it, as always. Sam, you're doing a great job. And we do want to say thanks to Johnson's of Kingfisher, our title sponsor for these reports. Brad Bowen and the great people at Golf USA, Brian Sorensen and the great people at Kicking Bird, just a tremendous public golf course. Ed Lynn and Buffalo Wild Wings, great place to watch the Thunder during the playoffs. Air Comfort Solutions, Jason White and the folks there, and Crosslands Rental and Sales. Thank you for sponsoring our coverage from Augusta. Sam, thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you, T-Dub. Thank you, Dad. This has been Sam Humphreys on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision. One final time, go get your LASIK done at Enjoy Vision. You can enter the promo code SAM400 at enjoywithme.com. That's enjoywithme.com and save $400 off of LASIK. For Taylor Williams, Craig Humphreys, this has been Sam Humphreys on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole Radio Show.